This is a production of Cornell University.
It is 12:15. We will go ahead, in the interest of promptness and being on time, go ahead and get started. It's November 4th, 12:15. We'll call the meeting to order. BJ, I know, is on his way up on the bus. He just sent me a text. Are there any late additions to the agenda? Is there anything that anybody would like to discuss or talk about that's not currently on the agenda? Billy, did you?
I do, actually, sorry.
Okay.
Through email. Well, yes, actually, I do. This is my colleague, Jules.
Hi, Jules.
Hi, Jules.
I'm going to say hello to Jules. And I sent out an email to my staff, to the staff that I work with, letting them know about the survey for the president's address. And Jules actually had a really good question. He was curious about the wellness issue at Cornell. It used to be at Cal, we were able to
do, they call it paid relief time, so basically work time to participate in the wellness program.
So can I put this just under new business?
Yes.
We'll run through some stuff, and then Jules will give you some time at some point in the agenda to go through this in detail? Great. Yeah, please, dig in, whatever you'd like. Amy? Okay, well, we're going to put, there's two announcements. I have one too, Amy has one. We'll put that in report from the chair. We'll put that in that section. Does anybody else have any updates or reports they want to share? Great. Okay. Any other late additions to the agenda? No? All right. Before we do the approval of the minutes, I know we have some new faces here. I apologize. I wasn't at our last meeting, so if we had the chance to meet anybody then, apologies. But if we could just go around really quick and say who we are, where we're from, and then we'll go through with the approval of the minutes and the business of the day.
I'm from Bailey Hall.
I'm Alice Mitchell. I'm a research associate.
I'm Billy Gutner, Cornell Plantation / Sales.
Greg Mezzi, Statler Hotel.
BJ, I'm losing my voice, I'm talking all morning. BJ Siotoko, Young Alumni Programs. So
do you want to take it over now?
Yes.
Thanks, Greg. For approval of the minutes.
Thanks, Greg. I've done nothing in the meeting today, so and it all went over, so
thank you.
So approval of the minutes, were there any other changes to the minutes that were sent out here?
Indeed. Good for him.
So maybe it's like a prototype thing where you're either there or not there.
Does anybody remember?
I don't think Jane was there. So I'll add that correction. Any other corrections? Awesome. Thank you. So I'll call for
motion to approve.
Motion to approve the minutes then. And we'll just call for unanimous consent. Is there any dissent on that? Great. So we'll approve those and move along down the line. So the two main things I had today were updates on the president's address. It is next Friday, so just kind of organizing ourselves around that, and then bringing up some of the resolutions that have been submitted. I think especially with new folks being on board and with a lot of the members being new to the organization, we've been talking to exec on how do we help folks understand what the resolution process is and how do we make folks more comfortable bringing issues forth through that mechanism that we have. So going over some of the things, I think this would be a great time. Again, as an employee assembly, I'm noticing that outside time is precious to all staff members, so how do we make these meetings a little bit more working meetings so we can actually move things forward and kind of go through that process. Any other questions about that before I guess I'll ask folks to kind of just provide a few updates on where we're going with the presence address and other things that we need from the general body in terms of staffing at the address itself and publicity questions and things of that nature. So, again, apologize that I'm calling on some folks ad hoc here a little bit. I didn't give everyone prep time, so I'll take that on me. So with the presence address, we've had, the first thing I want to go over is some of the communications component as well, too. Bill, do you mind just giving an update on what we've sent out already and what we're still looking for some of the members?
I mean, we have everything planned out. I don't think there's anything else. There's nothing else.
Yep.
Okay.
Sorry.
So, do you know what's kind enough to send out our newsletter, but
yeah,
a flash. There will be a paw print flash dedicated to it. It also will be in paw print. It's going to be in the Career Life Digest. We've had it on Facebook.
It's on the screen.
And I think we just got approved for live streaming as well, too.
That got finished.
Okay.
In the box notes, there was that little paragraph about supervisors encouraging people to attend. Who was that from?
Coming, so I'm just drafting something. I think we're going to try and see if that's going to come from Mary to help encourage out to the DDD listserv to encourage people to go. And again, not only just themselves going, but making arrangements for their staff to go as well. So, cool. Again, it's next week, so get that out there. Sometimes I think a personal invite from some folks goes all much farther than seeing some of the things there as well, too. So. So then in terms of logistics for the event itself, so the event itself will run from 12 to 1 in Call Auditorium, and we do need folks to help in terms of setup and cleanup immediately after as well, too. So setup, we're looking, arriving there about 15 to 20 minutes ahead of time, so about 4 to 5 folks. I guess you just submit names to me, and we'll keep that easy. And then, again, cleanup afterwards, 15 to 20 minutes immediately after, again, 4 to 5 folks. So setup again will be just helping usher people in. Depending on numbers, I think we've done this in the past with Bailey, where we tape off some of the back sections and encourage folks to move forward. So then we can help fill the space as well. And then clean up afterwards, again helping usher folks out. There is a class at 1:25 in call, so we're a little bit of a turnaround in that sense as well.
So we'll put a Google Doc together, I think, with all of the jobs that are required. And so if everybody could just go, who's a EA member, and put their name into one of those slots and just sign up for one thing, there'll probably be some setup, there'll be some cleanup, and then there'll likely be some folks that may have to sit in the back and step out a few minutes before to help sort of get the food and things set up and organized and like we've done in the past.
It's usually the food that's the big backup, so is there somewhere near there where we can get the line out somewhere?
Do you
want to
talk about the food that we've set up to?
Yeah, so I think that's one of the logistics pieces of just looking at the space and seeing where to get those tables set up. And we'll have more information on that because I know we'll just want to have as much as possible and get through folks through as quickly as possible. We've eliminated the choice, so it's free choice. You're free to choose this item. or not. So there's turkey sandwiches for everybody. There's vegetarian. And then there's gluten-free vegan and gluten-free meat. Because normally we do gluten-free, vegetarian, vegan, like all in one. And not every gluten-free person wants to be vegan, and some like meat. So those are really the options we have. And so any dietaries we'll just have sort of off to the side, and folks can grab those as they wish. But rather than doing turkey and ham and all that sort of stuff, everybody gets a turkey sandwich. Thanks for coming. And then We're not. We've talked about not doing apples this year, and I have a call into a few different departments to see about partnering on like a Cornell Dairy Bar free scoop of ice cream kind of thing. You know, whoever came, you know, go talk about what you heard at the president's address with folks at some later date. But I've got a call into Cornell Dining to see if they'll partner with us in some way and help us reduce that cost. So that's one of the things we're trying to work on because it is a rather large expense to purchase those coupons and see. So I guess more information will come in an update that way, but still supports another Cornell department like we've done with the apples in the past.
I had a thought that I forgot about. So how is the president going to address questions? Is it only going to be questions that have been submitted beforehand? So will there be a need for, because there is a way with the live stream that people can actually submit questions.
Okay.
Do we want to do that, or can people ask questions live?
So I was thinking there's a whole list of submitted questions we had ahead of time, so mm-hmm. I think that's a good way for us to just at least start those questions being asked. And then I would say, with mic runners and things, I think we should be able to take questions from the audience. I mean, I think a lot of people are coming because the president is
okay.
New and they want to
so ask. So then if that's the case, then we should take the questions
from the live stream.
From the live stream.
Yeah. Is there someone who would like to volunteer to sort of own the question piece of it? Because I think, you know, somebody that we can coordinate with outside of the meeting to help sort of facilitate asking those questions and understanding a little bit more of the logistics of the live stream questions coming in, how we kick off the questions, and sort of how we sort of facilitate in that moment and just sort of own that piece of it. Is there anybody that would be willing or comfortable to help with that?
This is from the 28th.
There were 39 as of yesterday.
39?
So a lot more than normal. And many of them are, you know, they're probably
they're grouped,
there's
yeah.
Probably a dozen or fewer general themes, but very good engagement on
that. There's a really good question I'm excited
yeah.
about asking.
Yeah. For the live stream question specific, some of them will be looking at those questions and then what?
Yeah, and then just sort of help interject in the process or be sort of the lead person that could help, you know, coordinate the mic runners or you know, just somebody who can own that part of the program that we can help logistically sort of plug in and just know that there's a point person that's checking those that can pull one of those questions out, you know, go to the mic and say it, you know, here's a question from this person on the live stream, but just somebody who can help facilitate that as many of us have other things and additional things to be doing during that time. If there's a volunteer for that, that would be great.
And take over the 39 as well.
Right? Yeah.
Okay.
Great.
That's what
that
means.
Love it.
So we're going to look at it as not necessarily saying every single question because there's mentioned there's like 39, but giving some teams in that sense as well. So, and if any other suggestions of it?
We're submitting all the questions?
I thought you were going to send her the raw data.
That is what the executive decided.
That's what we voted on.
And we're going to put some teams around it, though, too, yeah?
No, you're just going to send her.
She's going to pull
I was late to that meeting, too. So we're in my past 2 weeks right now.
The questions.
The
yeah, just sort of data dump and,
yeah.
Because that's the way it was done in the past.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she does not necessarily know that all of them may or may not be out, and she can just prep in a general format.
And I think as we further solidify some of the studio audience coming from the live stream, pre-submitted questions, just communicating with the president's office about, you know, you don't want to tell somebody to be brief, but our goal is to capture as many questions from the audience as possible in that short period of time, you know, while still giving an immediate answer. So it's that delicate balance. You know, we've had challenge in the past where we only get to two questions because, you know, there's a 10-minute response to a question. But we need to have a little bit more brevity and clarity in the response, if possible. And I know it's hard to tell somebody that at the...
Well, she sometimes seems to be very to the point.
Yeah.
So...
So for viewing the live stream questions, is there going to be a computer there?
Yes. Will there be a computer there?
Yeah.
Billy
can organize.
Yeah, I just received an email last night about that. We can do that. Was it last night or yesterday?
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. I think especially meat and also the details that you're describing them now need to be conveyed to the office of the president so that not only does she understand that she's getting this data down, but what the expectations are.
That should happen yesterday. It should happen yesterday, so I definitely know that one.
But it's a new day.
I said that yesterday, and then this morning I woke up like, it's a new day. Here we go.
We also have the award recognition plaque ordered today. Ordered today. We used the similar verbiage to years in the past. I think we just changed one word around, so it's sort of very much similar in the theme. And then I'll also try to coordinate with CUPD. I tried to connect with Kathy yesterday, but we'll be connecting hopefully today at some point with her so that we can get some background information for BJ's remarks and try to build that way and help them message to their department the exciting news.
So keep it brief.
I will keep it brief. I was going to say, I mean, looking at the timelines, like, I want us to, again, give them the recognition, but make sure there's enough time for the main event as well, too. So.
It says that the Cornell University Police Department.
Yes, I just wanted to.
We were talking about the award a couple meetings ago. We had also, I thought we had discussed the union document and what about at that time. So, but they didn't keep up with
the time. No. Yeah, I got the nomination. I've got one other. And I was going to actually try and connect with Billy after all the crazy president's address stuff was over to see if we can put out a call for more nomination and do it.
Okay.
Cool. Other questions about president's address? Like I said, it'll come together, it'll be new, but I think there's a lot of exciting buzz around it as well, too. No.
Bill's colleague is here, actually. You weren't in the room at the time, but Bill's colleague is here to ask one of the questions related to the
pre-submitted question, I think. No, there was just a precedent for it. It is actually more than that.
Oh, then never mind.
I think we have those from before. We can pull some of that as well.
Hear the music. So I think last here the images were of David interacting with staff.
Right, that's why I was
I don't think we're going to have many of President Garrett with staff just yet.
It's a relatively easy. I pull it from the digital well last year, just where you're typing in like president and staff, and it popped up a bunch of pictures. So it was relatively quick for us to pull together.
And do they only have to be, it doesn't have to all be the president with staff, it can just be staff, right?
Yeah. Some of, last year it was, I think we interspersed it, like David.
Some of the recognition events, some of the high five ones.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Other thoughts? I don't want to cut anyone off on this. All right, moving down. So I'm going to play catch up right now. So moving, we can move the resolutions down to new business things. But report from the chair. This is
Amy.
Amy
has an announcement.
Has an announcement.
I am announcing that I'm from Cornell Outdoor Education and the Cornell Team of Leadership Center, and we are putting together a program for veterans. Will be on November 14th, on Saturday from 9 to 2 at the Hanson Challenge Course. And that's being other than the community, I'm sorry, I can never get the word on this thing. So, but I wanted to make this announcement that today, I think it's the last day we put the register for it. And so I can send an email out to everyone so that we can.
And I'm assuming you've worked with the veterans CNG?
It's okay.
Just didn't want to assume.
Yep.
Colleague network groups.
So for those of you, the colleague networking groups are run by, is it diversity and inclusion or is it? Yeah, so it's your office. I don't know if you want to add some more, but there's a women's colleague networking group, there's an LGBTQ colleague network group, the veterans, men of color. Okay. Thanks, Amy. And then next item was
me.
You.
Yeah. So I let the executive committee know that as of November 29th, I will no longer be working at the university. I've decided to take a job elsewhere, still keeping Ithaca as my home and traveling from Ithaca, which everybody looks at me like I'm crazy when I say that. Yes, I will travel every week from Ithaca, but I just wanted to officially let everyone know that as of the 29th of November, I will not be serving anymore, but it's really probably been the greatest pleasure of my Cornell career to work alongside all of you and be on the EA. So didn't think that'd be as emotional as it's starting to feel like it's going to be, so I'm going to stop talking. But so that's all I have to say.
Yeah, I want to say thanks to Greg. Greg has been like a leading voice in many of these things as well, too. So it's a lot of big shoes to fill.
No, that just made it really real.
But you're not around. You're still around for...
Still here. Love cocktails.
Yeah.
Friday nights, sunsets, all that fun stuff. So let me know. We can talk about how great Cornell has become. So,
yeah.
It's been a real pleasure. So,
thank you, Greg. Thanks. I'm sorry. Sorry to lose you. other things I wanted to go over from report from the chair. It's been a while since we met. The trustee meeting was slipped to my notes here. Lots of discussion, especially along the divestment front. So I do want to say that it wasn't something that was just kind of glossed over. I think the trustees really took it to heart that all the different shared governance groups brought forth different resolutions along the same topic. And so what their communications plan, they're still kind of working through that. But again, I just want to emphasize that I think this was a really big thing for shared governance, where all these groups came together, again, used our official voices and our processes, and I think it was a really lengthy discussion for, let me see, how many pages of notes do I have here? Lots. So one, two, three, four pages of things that the trustees were discussing. And again, while we weren't as a non-voting member of the board, I was just there as a guest of the chairman, so we weren't necessarily allowed to ask questions or interact. But I think it's a good step that all those heads were invited for the entire, or not the entire, but most of the meeting for that discussion. And so, again, I actively encourage everyone, as you have these issues, how do we work across the different assemblies to make sure that we're working together and showing that, again, when shared governance groups do come together, those in charge, especially the Board of Trustees, do pay attention to these things as well, too. It was a confidential meeting, but are there any questions about discussion, stuff about working across shared governance?
To add to that, I think the amplifying the voice of shared governance by coming together was really important. This was, in the most recent history, this was the first time all four assemblies have come together around an issue and brought forth resolutions. It also was the very first time that the UA chair was invited to participate as a representative of an assembly. For historically, the university assembly, because it doesn't really represent a constituency, was not invited and included in those closed sessions.
And I do want to emphasize what kept on coming up was the fact that we had an official resolution that was passed by this body that, again, had went through all the official channels, and that's what was really recognized. So a lot of trustees were discussing, well, they all, you know, passed this. This is what they are all, they meaning these different shared governance bodies representing the community at Cornell, passed this. So we have to respond. We have to do something. And I think that was what was important for me, was hearing the fact that this wasn't just something that they were going to brush aside, but rather we've been heard, and so now they're going to respond in a way that I hope promotes more dialogue. So let's keep doing more of these official things, using our tools and all our channels. So yeah. Other thoughts?
I think the one thing too is, and something I would challenge everybody to try to do is how do we leverage the trustees in an appropriate way and in a balanced way and at the right time for the right reasons. So it has to be very strategic, but there were clearly several trustees were very vocal about this and in support of it, and there were some very vocal against that. And, you know, they're Cornellians like all of us are Cornellians, and everybody has the right to reach out to anybody. I mean, their names are public, you know, and trying to find ways and build momentum. You know, in my fraternity days, we called it working the hallways, right? If you knew there was some sort of controversial vote that came up in advance, you'd go knock on everybody's door and you'd rally support for something in whatever way it was supposed to go. So I think we need to strategize as an EA and as an SA and a GPSA and a UA and a faculty senate how we leverage the trustee support so that by the time our voices get to the table, there's already been voice within the trustee body advocating for something. There's continued voice once we're asked to leave the table advocating for something. And so I think it's something we've never done really well, and I think it's something that we should figure out how to do, but it will take us time. We'll make mistakes. We'll ask the wrong person. We'll annoy somebody. But I think that that's all good things to have done to advance whatever the topic may be. So I just would encourage everybody to think, what is that issue that we can rally around like this one? You know, is there an easier one to win right off the bat to build the model and then, you know, employ that model with some of these more difficult conversations?
And further add to that, a forum for this is in the spring. We tried to arrange in the past as well a meeting with the Board of Trustees. It's still even the Executive Committee. Is that correct?
Everyone was invited.
Oh, sorry. When I...
It was mainly the Executive Committee.
I'm talking about the board. It's not with the whole Board of Trustees. We
with the executive committee
of the Board of Trustees.
Oh, yeah.
But again, everyone from the EA is welcome to attend. And I think, as Greg is mentioning, how can we better prepare for these meetings so we don't just go in and just kind of don't really have a plan? But again, we know this is coming in the spring. So what can we start thinking about now? What are issues that we see as an employee assembly that we can bring forth at this meeting? You know, for them to carve out, what is it, like an hour or something of time? I mean, that's pretty big, considering what they do that weekend. So can we use that effectively? Gina?
I was just going to say that within that, the context of the conversation, remember, too, that there will be an employee elected trustee this spring. So towards Greg's point about, you know, finding a way to engage, there is an opportunity. Alan Whitman is not going to be running again. And at this executive session, there will have that gathering is...
Last kind of report from the chair update that I had was in regards to our leadership breakfast this morning. So we met with folks from entrepreneurship at Cornell, and I don't have the cool little flyer. But one of the things that struck me is that there's a lot of resources here for helping students, faculty members, to help up with kind of their projects. And they did mention that looking over some materials, it is available for staff members as well, too. And the whole point of entrepreneurship is to help not just Cornell, but the region become more prosperous, to bring, again, some of the things that we're doing on campus out into the community and the surrounding counties. So I'm wondering if there are folks that are interested in continuing to explore this idea on what can we as an EA do with entrepreneurship at Cornell to support staff members who may have entrepreneurial ideas, things that they can then work with this office to support local growth here. I think from the communication aspect, they were surprised and they love hearing the stories. I think it was it Zach or was it this one? I think was it Tom that mentioned it's not necessarily something that you can just put out a structure and say, here's how it works. They rely heavily on stories and success stories. And I think if there are stories within the staff community of this person had an idea, worked with the entrepreneurship office, brought that idea to life and helped really enrich their community, staff members, much more than students, are likely to stay in this area after they're done with their time at Cornell. And so I think this is another good opportunity for us to kind of connect a resource on campus with what we're trying to do in terms of empowering staff members. So please keep that on your radar. I don't know if there are other, I see some kind of brain cells kind of thinking right now, but if there are ideas that you have, do you have any now? Or otherwise, send them to me, and I'd like to connect you with the entrepreneurship folks or come up with some kind of idea there.
One other conversation I had with Tom after everybody left was the idea around conflict of commitment, right? There's two conflicts at Cornell. Conflict of interest, right, if you're in a purchasing role and you have some affiliation to something you're purchasing from, and then conflict of commitment where you have too much going on and you can't make the priority your primary job commitment. So when we talk about staff and entrepreneurship, the question often comes in is where's the conflict of, is there a conflict of commitment? So one of the things that I asked Tom is I said, okay, so what resources or what ways is entrepreneurship at Cornell, and I can't remember the name of his office, there's some acronym for it, but the economic regional,
CREA,
yeah,
develop,
advancement, I'm like, no, it's with the, what ways are they helping staff reduce that conflict of commitment, similar to some of the tools and resources they're providing to students and faculty, you know, how in the, you know, if I work my 40 to 55 hour job in those remaining 30 hours I have at home, if I want to be an entrepreneur, what are some resources that can make that 30 hours as productive as possible and not have to spend 60 hours or 20 into my 40 hours at work? So just another topic to continue the conversation with, you know, how can we promote the reduction of the conflict of commitment while still advancing, you know, sort of those entrepreneurial spirits in our staff members and not just in students and faculty.
Cool. If that's all questions about entrepreneurship at Cornell, I'm happy to forward them on. Cool. The last thing I'd like to provide as well, too, the Office of Assembly does a great job putting coming up with speakers and things, but they are asking us as a body what are some topics that we'd like to see at some of these practices. So if you do have ideas, send them my way, send them to the Office of Assemblies. I only have so many things I'd like to hear and talk about, but I think, again, this is an assembly, not just an exec or just, you know, one or two people. So if there are topics that you see happening on campus that you think should be kind of brought up, sometimes these leadership breakfasts, we look for topics to discuss with them
I don't want to speak for Gina, but I think it's there. you know, what topics are there that you want to see? This is a great time for, again, across shared governance to bring these topics up. So send me those ideas. Happy to take them.
The other thing that helps, I think, BJ and the rest of the executive committee do is when there are these breakfasts, if somebody has already expressed an interest in hearing from that,
yeah.
knowing which person to plug in and include in those breakfasts so that it's just not a random person. You know, Pilar has an interest in something, and that's the topic of discussion, then we pull Pilar into the mix. So it's important to, you know, let everybody know what topics they're interested in.
Cool. Again, looking over this, I think the resolution is going to be a little longer, so I'd like us to move down to the other piece of new business I see on here, which is...
So Jules came and wanted to talk about wellness issues, so I guess we can give him some time on the floor.
Okay. My name is Jules, I work at Plantations, and I think it was about a year and a half ago we got a notice that the university... CALS, I'm not sure which, is no longer supporting paid relief time for wellness activities. So historically at Plantations, we were allowed about 3 hours a week that we could participate in wellness, kind of on the clock. That option was taken away, I guess, end of fiscal year, summer 2014. At that time, a bunch of us, weren't all that excited about it, obviously. So asked the director of Plantations, what should we do? He suggested coming to the EA, and sort of procrastination set in. since Billy's on the EA, that kind of, and we both work at Plantations, that kind of started up the conversation again. So kind of wondering, I guess, what the options are to try and bring back paid release time. Sort of my supervisor is on the wellness committee and sort of explained the process behind why it was decided to stop allowing paid release time. I guess that was a fairness issue, not all departments were allowing.
So, not to interrupt, but is this a cross the university or is it just a Cal thing?
Engineering is allowing it, and they're using it.
So many, many years ago, there was a memo that came out from Mary, the big memo that people talk about, saying that she encouraged departments to grant, I think it was 90 minutes of release time to participate in wellness activities. Mm-hmm. It was a guideline. It was not a policy. It was not a requirement. So departments were left to kind of do what they wanted.
Okay.
Some departments, or colleges like engineering, is extremely supportive of wellness. Other departments or colleges are not supportive at all. And part of the equity issue is how do we offer that same wellness advantage to populations of employees who work at night or things like that? How do we provide it for people who are on grant funding? So all of those kinds of things, people working at Animal Hospital are issues. So I think CALS made their own choice to get rid of it because they couldn't provide it equitably across the board. I don't think there was any university mandate that came down today and shut off it. That's
awful. How long would they break itself for the
I don't know. I mean, the memo has been around for a really long time. That recommendation's been around for a really long time, and Beth McKinney is probably the best person to speak on it. But I think that there is still, you know, we recommend departments to support. I think the encouragement now is to give flexible work time, not necessarily give you paid release time, but allow you to flex your schedule or flex your day to accommodate that. They felt that that was fair to everyone because that could accommodate people on grants or
so then, because this isn't a university-wide issue, what would the next step be for CALS employees?
So I think this is a good place. I mean, I think if it's a university-wide thing, we're seeing discrepancies between different departments. It's how do we, representing all these different departments across Cornell, say this is what employees would like to see happen? I think in my head, and again, I'll defer to the Office of Assemblies in terms of official procedures things, but putting together some kind of a resolution of what we'd like to see that's been debated here, that's an official, this is the statement that we'd like to see, we're, as representative of the staff community and the employee community, you know, we're seeing differences in what staff members are have available as benefits. So how do we then make sure that's something that's available to everyone? I feel like those are the next steps in terms of communication. I don't know if you want to, I don't want to, I love the office and sports.
I guess my thought is not all jobs and job classes and places are created equal. If you don't know that yet, I mean, it's that's just how it is. And I think one of the things we've struggled with when we've brought this issue of wellness up in past assemblies is we haven't been able to clearly articulate a solution because we just sort of asked for paid time off and it just really didn't get anywhere. We didn't see the traction. So I think, you know, I don't know if a broad university sweeping approach is going to be the best one. It may be a targeted approach, and it may be, you know, we ask Dean Bohr, right?
Yeah.
Dean Bohr and maybe the Director of Human Resources to come to an EA meeting and say that we want to talk about, you know, their commitment to staff and staff wellness, and they may decline coming, but and that's a much louder statement that they make. So I think giving them the opportunity to engage with us, because we did have a constituent that raised a concern, because I think it will be easier for us to fix targeted pockets. Granted, Cal's is a pretty big target, but maybe someone who, is anybody here work in engineering? No? If anybody has a colleague in engineering that they could sort of ask what they do, best practices, that way we can say, well, here's the examples of engineering, you know, here's what's taking place, and take an opportunity to engage specifically, because I don't think we'll be able to get a Cornell wellness policy in place as we'd like to see it in any time soon. But I think we can try to have these little small victories where maybe we move the ball and Cal's at, you know, 10 yards down the field and, you know, it's already a touchdown and whatever. But I think we need to make those incremental progress as opposed to trying to push out a broad policy.
So what about when we had employees either vocal and concerned about transportation and parking, we set up that dialogue, we set up a forum, we had individuals come in, why not perhaps address this the same way, looking at it as a call to call Cal's employees to come in, request Cal's representation and a dialogue in a similar structure of what we did with transportation, which could create then representatives, we'd see who would be concerned about it, we could then let them run with it later on perhaps, but bring it in a very controlled sort of scenario, the same we do with the transportation.
I was just going to say that procedurally, anecdotally, we know Cal's had anecdotally, we've heard
that
engineering different policy. I think what we've heard essentially from the kind of thing is that it was the rationale behind it. I think if somebody wants to take the lead on this as a resolution, there's some research that can be done, whether it's just pulling the 13 colleges and finding out what your policy, everybody will have a policy on this. They will have, whether it's just, you know, a practice or an actual policy, and or whether it's anecdotal or official, that will help to round the story. And there are then different mechanisms, whether it's a public forum, if the resolution, if it comes to this body as a resolution that's put forth, there's a mechanism for public comment.
Mm-hmm.
There's also, we've discussed this, an opportunity to invoke a referendum.
Mm-hmm.
Greg, I'll tell you before the 29th.
President Garrett said she'd help us with that.
In order to get the voice, and I think this goes back to BJ's conversation about the trustees, Jules, it's great. I think you coming to the meeting is fantastic because that gets the ball started. But somebody's got to now run with the ball. And so if it's
whoever can partner with Jules. A resolution has to be written by a member of the, a seated member of the assembly, as the sponsor. Again, whatever support, just maybe, DJ, as we've discussed, trying to, at one of these meetings, actually write a resolution so that it's not a daunting thing, you know, but it's we don't speak in whereas clauses. But that's how these things get forth. So, again, happy to use this as an example that would actually then, the result would be a resolution that can be sent on, whether it's to the president or just, you know, your internal operations. But procedurally, there are a couple different things that support written up as a resolution or convening a public forum, maybe just gather some more data from the other colleges.
Sure. So I'll take Tanya and then I'll take Kate on that.
I was just going to say, before you start reinventing the wheel, I would connect with Beth McKinney. There was a great deal of research and talking with colleges and units about what they provided. This particular issue is a huge part of the employee engagement survey, and I believe the President Mary provided a response. So I think let's use what they responded to and what they said did or did not work. So that if you craft some sort of resolution, we acknowledge what they've already said no to and try to find a yes.
Mm-hmm. That's good when wellness came here. I mean, wellness is doing a lot of things to, if people can't come to them, they're going to try and go out to the different communities as well. So I know we talked to them about how do we elevate that so more people know about that. This may be a good opportunity for us to connect with wellness and how do they get out to these different places if they're not allowed time to go there. Mm-hmm.
The question remains, would, if the employees wouldn't be doing work during that time, they'd be doing this wellness thing at that, even if it's at their place. You know, I can't speak for anybody else, but I'm sure there are some supervisors who would try to make their employees take vacation time during that time that person was there.
But I think then that's the issue that we get at. I think that we have a really hard climb to try and get the university to grant relief, and I think that's been a really hard
paid really tough.
I think what we can push for is to say that departments must, unless there's a really hard evidence case why they can't. So obviously, if I work in dining, they can't grant me release time necessarily to go to the gym at noon because that's when the bulk of my work is done. But if I'm there and I'm between the breakfast and the lunch rush and maybe I can flex, then we should be accommodating that. And I think that's the push that we make as leadership, because I think with all of the streamlining and the amount of work that we have to do to get the university to agree to release time, I think it's going to be a hard.
You're saying no to paid. You don't want to push for paid relief.
I'm not saying that we can't push for it. I'm just saying that I think we're going to have a hard time getting that because they've said no every time we push for it.
Flex time is already there. The ability to flex is there, and while that's great, you know, it's really the paid release time. I think that's why I came here.
I know one of the reasons we can't have paid release time at the hospital is because it's patient billable hours for a lot of the staff, so that there's people who cannot leave because they have to be on the floor. But wellness has gone out of their way to bring wellness to the college and make opportunities available, and we're lucky to have the flex time. But this is an ongoing issue. As more studies are put out, productivity goes up when you allow people to be released.
Right.
But again, it may be the plus time of making it further.
And I see this. I really do see this as an opportunity because I think right now, I mean, what I wanted to do with the resolution stuff is really what's happening right now. So I don't really think we need to do that. But we have this opportunity where all these voices come around from different parts of the university. We can start talking about these things and have a better understanding of what the issues are versus just saying, this doesn't happen, that sucks. How can we then find somewhere to compromise between if the paid release time is an issue, but yet we're doing other things for wellness, how can we meet those things somewhere in the middle? So at least we move, as Greg mentioned before, move the ball a little bit further forward, and how can we find those two things together? Other comments, sorry, jump in there.
So you're going to run with it, Bill?
I guess, yeah. Does that mean we got a Kales, the Kales person on the... Oh, great. Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you for that, Gordy. No idea.
Yeah,
that would be great. Yeah.
So to start kind of with some, I mean, what are, as folks think about wellness and things, what is information that you'd like to know in order to be better informed if this comes up in discussion again? So let's say the next EA meeting, we're going to be talking about wellness. Before you come to that meeting, what would you like to know so you feel like you can contribute to the discussion in the meeting?
Well, I think we need to have a clarity of exactly what all 13 colleges are doing. Right now, we seem to know engineering, but that's pretty much the only one that is regularly quoted as having this pay really something. So I think if you do at least that as a starting point, would really then argue. If we have 12 of them doing pay relief,
mm-hmm.
then perhaps we can push a bit further. If we only have engineering, then the flex is what we can keep pushing. So I think that's how we see it.
I would just expand that too to the administrative units as well.
There you go. I wasn't
going to
give
them
too much.
Well, I'm happy to help, but I think it's sounds like it's a dean or vice president that are making decisions. So
a lot of times,
you have a in the academic unit.
Yeah. And when you see salaried employees always working out all the time, you know.
Does she get it? I never get a break.
Yeah. Also, is there precedent in other colleges?
I'm sure the research is out there showing
that
you said that productivity.
Through the whole subcommittee.
Yeah, there was a subcommittee.
Because this was one of the five.
Yep.
Right? I hate to bring up the survey word from 5 years ago. But I think that's very good, robust historical information.
And there's a lot more research out that you're going to die from sitting all day.
Yeah.
Yay.
Sounds good. Let's do it.
Other questions, folks? Okay, cool. Again, this is what I'd love to see. This is, I think, what we're here for. So the more we can pull these things together and get official responses,
thanks for coming.
That'd be great. Thank you, Joe. So that was my main list of things, and I was going to Thanksgiving kind of really. So I know you were ready to call. Were there any other things from this discussion folks want to bring up? Okay. Again, send me thoughts about volunteering for President's Address, and then, again, start thinking about wellness and connecting with Billy. We have lots that we can be doing, so let's take advantage of that.
So on that note for the President's Address, are you going to reach out to the Communications Committee?
I will.
To maybe also delegate a little bit of this to get it out, flyers, promotions,
were we doing flyers?
I don't know. About
no, I don't think there's any...
Electronically, even. I mean, you know.
Yes. I will send that out to the... I've never been delegated, and I just did everything for someone.
I know.
Sorry. So I will reach out to the committee with the flyer and ask them to share that with their constituents.
Okay. And are you still doing the Google Drive?
Yeah.
So we'll put that in
there. The President's Address, are you going to have us wear red, white, black...
Last year we did
red.
If you can wear the polo and you have one, do we have any left or no?
I have like two or three small sizes.
So if anybody has a small size and needs a polo?
Should we just say wear red? Something red on top? Everyone wear something business casual red on top. That'll at least pull us all together. And then we have our name tags as well. So that'll help differentiate
you
folks.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. Good job. Nice. Wow.
Boom.
You've done it. And then for Greg's MCC?
I believe the election clause states that from the preceding election, whoever the highest unseated person was would fill in.
What about a seat on the UA and any other committee? I'm just, you know, not that I want you to leave. I'm just,
it's all,
you know, logistics.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I think the UA seat is critical to fill. I think the seat here is also is critical to fill. But the thing, I think those of you who are UA members, mm-hmm. we will not have a staff member on the JA search committee. And I think it would be important to have that seat filled by a staff member. So I would encourage those around the UA table to make sure that I filled that role because I was chair of the CJC, which I've sent stuff down from, and there's a student filling in that role.
As interim,
but I happen to be a staff member to fill that role as well. So I just think we should really advocate for a staff member because there's many that advocated for one person from each constituent group. I did advocate against it at some point because I'm on the record, and I'll be on the record there. I don't want to contradict myself, but I do think it's important that we have staff representation in that process. Now that we have, you know, if it was out of balance before, that's one thing, but it was in balance, and I think it should stay in balance. And those meetings are being scheduled. And I think it's a really important committee to make sure there's a staff voice on.
Do you know the times of the meetings or anything yet?
Jane Miller is sending those out. They're going to be through December, January, February. It'll be a multi-month commitment and at multiple times and usually around the midday hour because that's, you know, that lunchtime is to accommodate students, faculty, staff, and student. It sort of seems to work the best. I don't know specifically, but I do know that we should be advocating at the UA table for there to be a staff member on that. They likely could say that there already are staff members on it from counsel's office, from HR, but I think it's important that we always keep a staff representation from a shared governance perspective and not because somebody just fills that role at the university in their job title. So push back.
And I'm thinking that would happen soon because the UA will move on that. So those that are interested in the UA, contact me.
Contact me. So we'll send those names on over.
Yeah. Actually, they should contact me.
Yeah.
Tanya.
And it's
okay. Does that have to someone from the UA or by the UA for the
UA?
Who do we have who's not on the UA on there?
I'm by the
Ned. Ned. I think we're supposed to have we have four
bys,
so I think we need a
prompt. Yeah. Could we have of and two bys? Yeah, right.
Then we need someone from this by.
No, what was the J? Yeah.
This is J for 430.
Yeah. Yeah, and again, that campus code, for those of you who don't know, that covers everyone. It's not just, I think sometimes people think of the J as just students, but everyone is covered by them, so.
At least there's an entry call.
Yep. All right, I'm not hearing anything. So I want to entertain a motion to...
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. All those opposed? I think everyone raised their card there. No, all right. So we'll go.
This is a production of Cornell University.